everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode, and today I am thrilled to welcome Mindy Tengen as my special guest. Now, Mindy has been a speech therapist for the last 10 years, although right now she's full-time watching her boys. And here at Catalyst, Mindy is involved with overseeing the Catalyst multi-generational luncheons. She's been a greeter, and currently Mindy, along with her husband Lauren, lead a small group. Now, Mindy and Lauren have been married for 7 years, and together they have two boys, Hudson, affectionately known as Huddy, and Caden. And with that, Mindy, welcome to Catalyst Stories.
Yay, this is so exciting.
I know. I got to let our listeners know that, you know, we tried about maybe three or four times at least.
I'm sorry to
have you on. No worries. Well, you know, so it made me think just the power of testimonies, because, you know, I know that the enemy would love nothing more than for our testimonies not to be shared. Right. And so that's what I thought of when, you know, it kept getting pushed back. I thought, gosh, the enemy doesn't like it, huh, when we share our testimonies. And then I realize the power of the testimonies. And, you know, in Revelations 12:11, it says they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimonies. And so I just thought, gosh, they're so powerful. But here you are, and,
here
and
I am.
We can move forward.
It's so finally it's happening.
It's so exciting. I want to celebrate today. Now, let me ask you this. So what is it about overseeing the Catalyst luncheons that made you and Lauren say, sign me up for this?
I think it's fun to just hang out with people in the church body besides church. Because, you know, it gets really busy. You just kind of wave to people, say your hellos. How was your week? Good. How was yours? Good. And then everyone, you know, sits down. Yes. So it's nice to have that extra time to eat with people and to laugh with people and to just get to know people more. And, you know, we're a family. So I feel like when we have the luncheons, it's family time.
Yes, yes. And you mentioned it, you know, you can't, I mean, food draws people together and out and gets people excited, right?
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's good. It's so awesome that you could be instrumental in that ministry. I mean, I know Yenny and I were always looking forward to it and saying, okay, I wonder what we're going to have this time, you know? So, okay. So growing up, you grew up daughter of a pastor, Pastor Barry. And I wanted to ask you what that was like for you and start off with the positives. What was awesome about
that? Oh yeah, there
was
a lot of positives. The nice thing was that even though my dad, you know, was the pastor and still is the pastor, I never felt like him or my mom, I'm going to start crying. I never felt like they pressured us. Especially, you know, my dad being, you know, the associate pastor at CBC and the head pastor of Catalyst, but he always just extended love and grace. Even when I, you know, was going in a direction that him and my mom were probably like, oh, what is she doing, right? But I felt like he was always just so loving, and my mom too. They were very supportive of us. So that was really awesome, and it was nice growing up just in a church where I felt like people were for us. So I think overall, it was a really great experience.
Must have been nice just feeling that covering from them too, huh? Mm-hmm. You know that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now I know that also created some challenges, and so I wondered if maybe you could talk about some of those challenges.
I think the challenges when I was younger, I mean, I felt, for me, it didn't impact me as much, but I felt like as I was getting older, like high school and especially college, and, you know, experiencing things for myself and being more independent, then that's when I started to kind of feel just that pressure that I think I put on myself of what are people going to think of me, or are people going to judge me for, you know, different things, or just a lot of feeling like I needed to portray a certain image of myself, or that I was held to a different standard that I felt like I was holding for myself, just because people knew that, oh, you know, Mindy's dad is the pastor, right? Yes. I think a lot of pastors' kids, yes, too, who I've talked to, they feel that too, is, yes, that, uh-huh, you know, everyone kind of knows you and your family, and yeah, just people know who you are, right? There's no hiding.
Yeah, no, absolutely, understandably so. Uh-huh. All right, you feel like all that the eyes are on you, and,
right,
and you know, somewhat pressure, mm-hmm, right? Yeah. So, you have these thoughts, and so God had been speaking to you, mm-hmm, and at one point, kind of said some things to you. So, I wondered, right, if you can talk about what.
Yeah.
What
so happened. It was actually during my college years, yeah, and I felt like God was really showing me. Well, the funny thing too was that we were at Catalyst. My dad was really going heavy on identity, identity, identity. And I know a lot of people in the church know and have, yeah, witnessed that we learned a lot about who we are in Christ,
yes,
and what that means for us. So I felt like as the church was moving through that idea of really understanding who we are, I was experiencing that in my own personal life. Mm. And I felt like, mm, God was really taking parts of me that I thought was my true identity, mm-hmm, and breaking those down and being like, that's not who you are. Let me show you who you are from, yeah, your Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
So I got that picture. God gave me a picture of me looking in the mirror and looking at myself and thinking like, this is who I am. And God actually handing me a hammer and helping, wow, me break that window and shatter and be like, that's not who you are. You have lies about yourself that you've, yeah, been holding on to that I don't even know if you realize, but let's build this mirror, yes, back up in, yes, the ways that you truly are.
Yeah.
Right. So that was very impactful. Those, yeah, it was like a span of like 2 to 3 years where, yeah, he was just loving on me, speaking truth,
yes,
just bringing people, friends in my life or people from church to really speak in to who I was in Christ. Yes. So that was a really powerful time.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so when you talk about the identity, I can't help but think of, Pastor Sam Lee and his
right, the freedom workshop. 101.
Uh-huh. And you know, of course, you know, he talks a lot about breaking the lies or the boulders, as he,
yeah,
calls them. And when those are broken, mm-hmm, they're replaced with, mm-hmm, the either truths or truths of who we act, who we really are. Mm-hmm. So for you, Mindy, mm-hmm, I wonder if you can share some of the truths that you embraced, mm-hmm, to kind of replace the lies that you had believed before.
Yeah, I think one of the bigger ones that I can think of off the top of my head is, yeah, that we are loved for who we are, not for what we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, yeah, just naturally growing up, you find your place in your family or your friends. Like, what are you good at? What are you known for? Why are you loved? Mm-hmm. And I feel like as you get older and, you know, you go to school and you find your job, just that, where is that sense of worth? You know,
yeah,
like, why do you feel worthy, or how are you feeling loved? So I, mm-hmm, felt like, mm-hmm, God was kind of saying, like, you care about what people think. Like, why is that, right? Mm-hmm. And different things like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. And I think you had also mentioned that he was showing you, too, that you are a daughter in,
yes,
in Christ. And,
uh-huh,
so I'm wondering, what does being a daughter in Christ mean to you personally?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was just really showing me how intimate my relationship with him, that,
yeah,
he's not just, you know, our father who's up there demanding things,
yes,
or,
yes,
you know, he wants to be close, mm-hmm, right? And, mm-hmm, so I just felt during that time that he was like my best friend, and that he wasn't ashamed of me,
yes,
that he was proud to be my father.
Yes.
And yeah, I felt like just all of that love that I felt like I was receiving from him was just so empowering and free too,
yes,
right? Free from sins that we've done in the past or that,
yes,
we will do,
yes,
free from labels that people might have given us growing up, free from lies that we believed,
mm-hmm,
that,
mm-hmm,
like you said, that replacement, that exchange,
yeah,
of, you know, giving the lie up for the truth, it really does something that pierces your heart and spirit in a way that when you know, not just in your head, but in your heart, that you can walk that and live that out,
yes.
Right? There's a freedom there.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I love, as you were sharing your testimony before, I thought of 1 Corinthians 5:17. Mm-hmm. I just want to read that. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Mm-hmm. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come.
Yes.
And I just thought, gosh, that was such a powerful truth. You know, you talked about truth because, as you were saying, you know, the enemy will try and accuse us of maybe things we've done in the past or you know, things that, you know, to try and get us back in, you know, to, well, this is who you are, or
right.
Look at all these things that you did. And I thought this scripture really points to the fact that, no, all of these things that we think, you know, that we did in the past or that we thought in the past, you know, we are a new creation. So
right.
Those things are not a part of who
yeah.
we are, right?
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes a while for you to actually believe that.
Yeah.
For yourself, like, you can hear things,
yes.
even hear truths about mm-hmm. who you are, but sometimes it's a journey to actually believe those to be true for
yeah.
yourself, not
yeah.
just to be told.
Yeah, no, absolutely, huh? It's one thing to read something or know it in your head, but mm-hmm. another thing really to embrace it in
yeah.
your heart, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And so I know for you, it is a journey for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the other scripture that related to something that you said is 1 Corinthians 6:18 in the English Standard Bible that says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord mm-hmm. Almighty. And I just thought of that when you talked about being a daughter of God. Yeah. And so now, do you remember this? I think you had also told me that you heard God say, God believed in you, or
yes.
God believed in me. And so I wondered mm-hmm. if you, when you feel God was saying that and spoke that to you, what was going on with you at the time?
Yeah. So let's see. I think I was graduated from college or yeah. towards the end, and then I was entering into my grad school stages
okay.
of life. But during that time, I wanted to find more fellowship with young adults.
Oh, yeah.
So I
yeah.
started going to New Song Church in Irvine
yeah. Yeah.
at their young adult group. And the nice thing about going there is nobody knew who I was.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like no one knew who I was,
yeah.
right? And then within the first couple of months, they were starting to get like a core team together after knowing people who were coming. And I was chosen to be one of those core members
yeah.
in terms of leadership. So I felt like that was really powerful because I felt like that was one of the first times where I saw myself as I am a leader,
mm-hmm.
right? Like
mm-hmm.
God has given mm-hmm. me things that
yes.
I can use to bless people. So that I felt like that was cool because it was a church that no one knew who I was, and God through other staff members were calling me up and saying like, no, like you're a leader.
Yes.
Right. So I felt like that was really influential in me wanting to minister to other people,
yes.
My age. And
yes.
it shifted my perspective of how I saw myself in terms of, I'm not just a follower.
Uh-huh.
I was born to lead
wow.
in certain ways.
Wow.
Right.
That's really powerful.
With the gifts that God has given me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. And you had mentioned this to me the last time that, in your past, you know, you had your friends,
mm-hmm.
and I think when you went to New Song,
mm-hmm.
God gave you a new group of friends that were really that could help draw out the best in you and draw
mm-hmm.
your faith out,
mm-hmm.
and that also was significant, wasn't it?
I felt like besides the friends that I had at Catalyst, this
yeah.
was the first group of like Christian friends that I had.
Uh-huh,
so that just
uh-huh.
makes such a big difference when you're walking with people who have the same faith as you and like
mm-hmm.
are encouraging you, you know,
yeah.
just in your walk.
Yeah.
Because I really do believe the people that you surround yourself with are the people that you become.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's scriptural too. I'll have to find that scripture, but I think it's you become like those whom you associate with.
Yeah.
So we'll have to dig that up and find out. I know it's in Proverbs.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have this amazing experience, this journey in stepping into your identity, and then we'll call this next testimony, I'm going to Trader Joe's.
Now, okay.
Now, uh-huh. I know you've told me you've had many testimonies that have come out of Trader Joe's, so I'm
love
thinking that...
Love TJ's. It's my favorite. I'm there every weekend.
I know. I'm thinking, gosh, that must be, you know, one of your favorite places to go, uh-huh. and God just meets you there. You know?
Yeah.
But I think, gosh, that's just like God to meet us, you know, in right. our element and, uh-huh. and you know where we're at. And so I think you said you'd been married for 2 years when mm-hmm. God spoke to you in a very specific way mm-hmm. that was so clear and impactful that you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that that was Him speaking to you, huh?
Right. And
so I wondered if you can talk about what happened and what God showed you.
Yeah, so it was around Christmas time, like it was close to the new year, and the new year being 2018. So it was like the end of 2017. And Lauren was busy, I think, golfing or doing something with his friends. And then I was just by myself at home, and I felt this strong conviction of just God speaking to me and saying, okay, you need to go. Well, see if your family's home, see if your mom's home, your dad, Megan and Matt. And then if they are, I want you to go to Trader Joe's, get some apple cider, and get a gingerbread house. And usually, I mean, God doesn't speak to me that specifically, but it was just so strong that I was like getting excited. I'm like, okay, like what's going to happen? Yeah, am I going to surprise them with a gingerbread party?
Right, right.
So I went to Trader Joe's. Well, I first called my mom and everybody was home. So I was like, okay, check. I went to Trader Joe's. Got all of the stuff that God told me to. Yeah. And then I went to the house. And I remember when I was driving, it was like the Holy Spirit was like shaking me in like an exciting way. Like I was just so anticipatory of like, he's going to do something and I don't know what it is, but I don't want to miss out.
Yes. So I mean, as you're describing it, I'm just, this anticipation is building and I could see why you would feel that way. Now at the time you had no idea what the gingerbread and the apple cider was for, or did you?
No, it was Christmas time and New Year's, so I was like, okay, that kind of goes, right?
Okay.
It's just kind of a fun thing, but I wasn't sure what I was going to be doing when I got to the house. So I got to the house, and then I rang the doorbell, and I knocked on the door, and they probably thought, like, is something wrong? Like, is she having a breakdown? Like, why is she so excited? Or, why is she like, okay, mom, get dad, get Megan, get Matt, bring everybody downstairs. and then they all came down. And then I just remember I got the apple cider and I poured it for each of us. And I was just, it was a prayer that I've never prayed before. And my parents were like, we've never seen you pray like that. But I just feel like God and the Holy Spirit just really took over. And I don't even remember what I was praying or how long I was praying for. I remember bits and pieces of it. But the theme of it was like, this next year for our family, like, it's new wine. Like, get ready. Like, the old is gone. Like, God wants to make more room in our lives. And the only way we can make more room is if we get rid of old things, get rid of things that we don't need, right? Like in the scripture, it's all about the new wineskin and how if you want that new wineskin, the old wineskin, you know, it needs to rip and it needs to make some room. So I just remember after that time, and then, you know, we made the gingerbread house and we celebrated together just the new year. But after that day, I was just seeking God and asking Him, like, what was that about, right? Because it was really strong and powerful. Like, what do you have in store for this next year? And I was thinking about me and Lauren and, you know, that next year for us. And I was like, is it a baby? Like, am I going to get pregnant? Because that was a desire of my heart. But I just wasn't sure. But I was pretty set that I was going to have a baby. Like, I thought that's what it was.
Okay.
So that kind of leads us, like, into the next.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Did you have a feel or a sense of what the old wineskin was that God wanted you to release or let go of, and what would be the new wineskin?
I felt like he was getting me, preparing me to become a mom.
Oh, okay.
I thought that's what it could be because I don't know. That's just what I was thinking.
I mean, gosh, it's so many new experiences and new things that God could show you through being a mom. And as you so I think at the time you said you and Lauren were trying to get pregnant, and and I don't know if this is part of the new wineskin, or I'm sorry, the old wineskin, but you had also talked about people pleasing as well. And so I'm wondering if maybe that was part of the old wineskin, and how did you feel that you were a people pleaser?
No, I definitely think that was a part of it. And the question is, how do I think I was a people pleaser? Is that what it is? I don't know if I could think of specifics. I just feel like I always, well, this is the main thing. I always cared a lot about like what people thought about me for some reason. And I think that kind of stems from probably when I was younger, just growing up in the church and people knowing who you are. I feel like you kind of double check your surroundings. Like, am I, you know, am I being a good Christian, or am I doing the right thing? Or, you know, do people think I'm nice, or, you know, whatever it could be.
Yeah, because I think you had used the word, you felt like God was kind of cleaning you out, I think you said.
And I don't think I realized that, though, until I experienced some trials that I would call the Santa Ana winds.
Which
I think we might talk about a little later.
So to you then, from that point on, how do you now balance between this idea of saying yes to people and kind of having your boundaries or what to say, you know?
I feel like for me, it's just kind of all about peace and balance. So there's just times in life where I might be feeling overwhelmed about things or getting anxious, and I'll just pray about it. But the difference between now, this Mindy 2024 and that Mindy 2017, 2018 was that, like, it would really bother me if I felt like someone wasn't going to be happy with like a decision I made, or I was going to let somebody down, and it would kind of like eat away at me. Where now I just feel like I make decisions based off of, I mean, I've always been a caring person and think of other people, but being more conscientious of like my own needs and like what's best for me. And especially after getting married and having kids, like what's best for your family. And I definitely feel like over the past 4 to 5 years, it's been easier to say yes for me and not other people. And not just kind of let things go too. And not be afraid like, oh, well, if that hurts that person's feelings, like, you know, not like that's okay. Like, I'm always thinking about the relationship, but no, like, I'm going to stand my ground on this one in a way that's loving, but also truthful and being true to myself and what God wants for me.
Awesome, Mindy. And you know, it just sparked, Mimo came on the podcast a few episodes ago, and she was sharing a similar story about being people pleasing. And she made a comment, I think it might have been from a book that that they were going through, but it really stuck out to me, because in the book it said, when you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. And that something you're saying no to could be something very important in your life. You know, like thinking for you, you have two little ones now. I thought that was a good perspective, that that, you know, you think you can say yes to everything and there's really, you know, there's no consequences, but you know, actually we're saying no to something else because we can't do everything, right? I just wanted to quote this scripture, because as you were sharing, the scripture is Galatians 1:10, and Paul, I think at some time the Apostle Paul was might have been being himself accused of people pleasing or doing things for himself and not not for for God. And so Paul asked the church in Galatia, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? And he says, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. And I thought just that was so profound that even he, if he was a people pleaser, he doesn't even see himself as a servant of God. So right. I thought, wow, that must be really important to him to say something like that. Okay, so let's see. So I'm just going to ask you this, but for you, if you were to give advice to or a word of encouragement to someone that is struggling with, you know, being able to say no or does things to please men, what would you say to encourage them? Any thoughts on that?
I think one thing that helped me was just really seeking God about it and asking him, like, what's pleasing to you? And, like, what do you think about the situation, right?
Yeah.
And I felt like he would help me kind of compartmentalize, like, my feelings versus, like, the reality of the situation or or the decision or whatever and give me peace over whatever I was going through in terms of the people pleasing.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. So I want to move on to this next section and to kind of set the stage. You know, we have some awesome prayer ministry teams at Catalyst and Intense Prayer Ministry and Healing and Deliverance. And I know they've been impactful for me and for you as well. And so I wondered if you can share, and this is where we'll get into the Santa Ana wins as well, but just the impact and just kind of how that came about of you meeting with the prayer ministry teams.
Right. So this started kind of like within a couple months after I did that prayer during Christmas with my family, we'll call it the new wine prayer. I like themes and titles.
Like
it makes it
fun. I like that. Yeah.
So then I was at the time I was working for Santa Ana Unified as a speech therapist, and I was at two different schools. And I had been there for like a year or two even before that. And the work was fine. Like it was a lot of work, but I didn't feel like stressed about it. So this year in particular, 2017, just for some reason, I was just getting anxiety, like the different assessment reports I did, like I just felt really nervous about my work. It was just eating me away, and just my role as a speech therapist, I felt like the enemy was attacking. And from that, it just kind of spiraled down into just like who I was in general. So it was just kind of a really dark and sad and lonely time that lasted about like a year or a little longer. Plus, at the same time as I was going through those struggles, we were also trying to get pregnant. So there was a lot of, I feel like the enemy saying like, you're not good enough, or, you know, you don't know what you're doing, or like, are you even ready to become a mom? Like, can you even become a mom? Right. So there was this dual trial of like me, like having this scary, like almost like life crisis with work, and then me trying to, you know, me and Lauren trying to get pregnant. But going back to like the work situation, like, yeah, I've just never experienced that, me believing the enemy so much, where like there'd be days where I couldn't even get out of bed, or I'd have to call off work, or I felt like I was having like heart palpitations and like had to take myself to the hospital, which I didn't, but like that's how just anxiety induced I was, where Lauren was really worried. Like I could barely get out of the house to walk. Like it was really bad. And during that time, I remember I was just like, when is this gonna end? Right? There's times in your life where you can't see the end of the tunnel. And that was a really scary time where I just, life was just hard. Just waking up was hard. Just anything was hard. I wasn't eating. It was just a really weird time. And I remember a few strategies I did for myself, just to remind myself that God was still with me, even when I felt like he wasn't, is I would light a candle and play worship music and just sit in my bathroom in the dark on the ground and just seeing that flame flicker. I felt like God was like, I'm still with you, right?
Wow.
And I'm getting so emotional about it, even though it was so long ago, because like you alluded to, John, I felt like it was a time in my life where God was cleansing me out, having me really die to lies and preparing me for what we would face, me and Lauren would face in the future.
Wow. Yeah. I just like what you shared about, you know, being alone with God and lighting the candle. Uh-huh. And sometimes we need times like that, huh? Uh-huh. Just to get away from, you know, from all these thoughts that are going on in our head. And so in that moment, did God speak to you during that time? Or
sometimes he did, sometimes he didn't. Like when I would light the flame, like it wasn't like every time I did it, I was like, woo, I'm better. You know what I mean? Some days I would feel like it was just him whispering, it's going to be okay.
Wow.
Right. You're going to get through this. Sometimes when you're in it, you can't see yourself getting out of it because you're still in it. Right.
Yeah. Wow. That's neat. And during that time, there was a scripture that was really impactful for you too. And so I wondered if you can share that.
Yes. You'll have to remind me. I know it was Jeremiah. It was for the plans.
Yeah. Jeremiah 29:11.
Like I have good plans for you in your future.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Plans to not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future.
Yeah. So I feel like that's been my life verse. Actually,
So what is that verse, when you reflect on that verse, what does that help you to do in the moment, or what does that either solidify in you in the moment, or
I think it just solidifies that God's gonna have your back and he's gonna be there, and whatever trials you're going through, he will see you through. It might not be in the timing that you want, because usually when we're facing hard times, we want it to be done, right? Who enjoys just basking in the things that you're going through? So it's just a reminder to me that God does have a hope and a future for you, and that there's power in that, that he's calling that out in you. He's calling that out in your life. Like he created you from the time you were born till the time that we're rejoicing in heaven with him. So like, we don't have to worry. And I think that's the hardest part though, is the not worrying.
Right.
Because when I was going through that, the Santa Ana winds struggle, it's almost like you release and surrender that burden to God. But then it could be in a matter of seconds where you take that back, right? So it's this constant give and take of your worries and your hopes, and, you know, things are out of your control in life.
Yeah,
I think that's another hard thing. Yes. So I think that verse reminds me that God is saying, I am the great I am, and I am in control, and I love you, and I want the best for you, even though it doesn't look like it, right?
Yeah, absolutely, because it's so easy to, we want to control the situation, right? Mm-hmm. And like you said, you know, we want it to be done, you know, and maybe in our time or the way we want it. Mm-hmm. And I just thought of how that verse also says, you know, that to let go and be able to give up that control to God, because his plan is the best plan for us, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so you mentioned the Santa Ana wind, and it was funny because when you first mentioned it to me, I thought, well, is that a pun on the fact that you work for the Santa Ana School District? and so, yeah, I wondered if you can elaborate on to you what the Santa Ana winds represent as a, you know, a great reminder to you.
Yeah, so the Santa Ana winds, it was just kind of like a funny title that me and Lauren gave that time when I was working for Santa Ana Unified, where things were just hard at work and when we were struggling to get pregnant. Yeah. But it represents a time in my life where God was just really showing me who he was, even when I didn't feel like my normal self, or it's like kind of like when you're at a low in life, God is still showing himself to be who he always has been and who he always will be. So I feel like he was just telling me, like, this is good for you. Like, I know this stinks and you don't want to be in this place, but I'm building up some spiritual muscles in you that you're going to need for the future. And I didn't know that, right, in the next couple of years, it would be the pandemic, and that's when I would have my first son.
Yeah. Yeah. So I it's almost like you can see as you're sharing your testimony that God is building that muscle, and right. He's preparing you to give you even more opportunities, we'll say, to trust in Him and to lean on Him. Yeah. And so I wondered if you can talk about some of those things, because I think you mentioned with Hudson some challenges and how God
right. So just to go back a little bit, so we struggled to get pregnant for like a year or a little over a year, and then I got pregnant, and then Hudson was born in, you know, like he was born on July 2nd, 2020. So like right when the pandemic was starting.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, I forgot what the question
was. Yeah, no, I think you had mentioned earlier that when, after you had, well, let me back up. How was that having Hudson? Because, you know, I know that your parents' first grandson,
right.
And I just, what was, I mean, I know the pandemic was going on, but at the same time, that must have been just such a joyous time for the family, huh?
It was a lot of fun. I think the thing that made it hard, though, was that it was the pandemic, and then we had a lot of feeding struggles with Hudson in the beginning, so I was stressed in a different way, but because of my Santa Ana Wins trial, I felt like that prepped me for this new trial. So like God was kind of like setting me up.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have Hudson and, and then you have some of these feeding issues. Mm-hmm. And what was different for you this time around as you are approaching these struggles? And I wonder if you can talk about that.
Well, I feel like one thing that sticks out is that I remember my dad telling me, like, I know that Hudson's going through these feeding struggles, but it's going to be okay, but you need to consecrate him to the Lord. And that has always stuck out to me from the very beginning that, you know, as much as me and Lauren love Hudson, like, he's God's first, and who better to trust than him?
Yeah.
So anytime I was worried, I just remembered my dad saying that and just was praying that Hudson's going to be okay. Like, his feeding is going to be, you know, resolved in the future. Like, I can just trust him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. That's so big. So what is that perspective, the idea that yes, he's yours and Lauren's child, but he's also God's, he's also son of God as well.
Yeah.
What does that conjure up in you?
That I've always liked the idea of, or the phrase of, is that as parents, we try our best because we're only human, and God's going to fill in all of the gaps, right? It might not be perfect, right? But like ultimately, like, he is going to cover. He is over Hudson and now Caden, and he is watching over our family, and we are in his hands. So I just feel like that gives me a lot of peace. And because I think of what I went through during the Santa Ana Wins was when I feel like life's out of control and there's things that I can't do, it's okay to be in that place, even though it's scary.
Yeah.
So that's how I was feeling with Hudson. Like, oh my gosh, like, I'm not a good enough mom, right? The people pleasing, right? Voice coming in. Like, I don't know if he's getting enough to drink. Like, that's a really scary thing as a mother, is making sure that your baby is fed.
Yes.
And it's a constant thing where you're feeding them all the time and making sure that, you know, they have enough nutrients to grow. So that was another time where I just felt like God was like, things feel out of control, but I'm in control. And I just had to, you know, trust him with that. And a little funny story that I don't think I shared with you is, so it was the pandemic, so we weren't going out much. And my best friend at the time when Hudson was born was a weighing baby scale. So every time I would feed him, I would literally drive myself crazy, do pre and post weight, like, all throughout the day. And I did that for like a good probably 8 to 9 months. And I remember the day where God was like, well, Lauren would always tell me, like, we need to throw that out. And I was like, no, like, that's my safety net. Like, I would be sleeping sleeping with that thing, like in the bed, like I need to know how much Hudson you know, eating per feed. And it was so freeing when I really felt like God was saying, like, no, you need to get, girl, you need to give that scale up. Give that to me. get your little notepad and your pen that you've been writing down all of his feeds, and like, don't even think about it. Right. And so it's just, like I said, this constant want to control, right? To feel safe and giving God the control. But that was just funny. So anytime the scale comes up, Lauren's like, we should have gotten rid of that thing a long time ago.
That's so funny. So you kept the scale, but then at some point you stopped
when he was 8 to 9 months. I was like, you need to put this thing in the garage, take all my pens, take all my little notepads and my sticky notes, and like, I'm just going to trust God because he said I can trust him.
Was it hard to do that?
It was, but after I got rid of it, I was like, oh my gosh. It's like
freeing, right?
Yeah, that like, need to like want to know how much Hudson was drinking, like it just like left.
Yeah, yeah.
I was I should have done that like 6 months before
Yeah, no pun intended, but it felt like a weight was taken off, right?
Totally. A big weight was taken.
Massive scale, huh? That's funny. Yeah, and I'm sure, what was Lauren's reaction? Was it like about time? Or
he was like, oh, okay, so now you listen because God told you.
Yeah, right. That's funny. Oh, that's great. I love it. As you were sharing, just some scriptures came to mind, Mindy, and so for you, 1 Peter 5:7 in the New King James Bible, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And that just was so highlighted when you talked about just how much God cares for us, and he cares for our kids. And then also another scripture that I know means a lot to your dad, because he shared this to me, but Matthew 11:28 to 30 in the NASB, come to me with all the control and giving up the reins, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
Right.
For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And it sounds like that you were able to do
that's
that.
That's a great one.
Yeah. And now, I don't know why I wrote this down, but somehow the character Bluey is coming to mind, and I know there was something God showed you through that animated series as well, right? Do you remember what that was?
I mean, that's like our family's favorite show and Lauren's favorite show.
Oh, Lauren too.
Oh yeah, he loves it. Bandit the Dad, like he thinks he's like the best.
Oh, is that right?
Sometimes Lauren will just watch it by himself.
Oh. oh, that's hilarious.
I'm trying to think of why.
I think it might have been an episode. Does this sound familiar, where they were teaching the kids how to play chess?
Yes.
Okay.
I was just going to talk about that. We actually just showed that episode to our married small group.
Oh, you did?
Who has kids, because we felt like just the idea of, so the dad Bandit is trying to teach his two daughters how to play chess. And, you know, they're young and they don't really understand the game. And they're all in the kitchen. And then the mom is asking the dad, like, so why is it so important to you that you teach your kids chess, right? And he's like, because I want them to be smart, right, and to have knowledge and to know things. And then she just said a one-liner that really stuck to me, and Lauren, is work on their heads later and focus on their hearts.
Ooh,
right? Wow. So I just think, you know, as me and Lauren have walked into being parents, right, Hudson's gonna almost be 4 and Caden's 15 months, just I feel like that heart-to-heart connection is so crucial, and how just that, something we say to Hudson too now that he's older is that we love you for who you are and not for what you do.
Yes,
right.
Wow. Wow.
I just feel like as a kid, just knowing that you are perfectly loved and seen and known just for who you are, just because you're my son or yes. you're my daughter, just like God says to us,
yes.
right? It's not about what you do. It's about who you are. And because you're my child, like, yes. yeah, like I love you to the ends of the earth. Like, you know, whatever you do, I'm going to keep on loving you. Yes. There's power in that. And that's impactful.
Yes. Yes. Wow. Wow. That's awesome. Love that. Yeah. So I wanted to just quote one more scripture.
Yeah.
And this came up on the episode that Trish was on too, mm-hmm. but it's Isaiah 40:11 in the NLT and the New Living Translation, Mindy. And it says, the second part of that verse says, he, meaning God, will gently lead the mother sheep mm-hmm. with their young. Mm-hmm. And so I just thought of that because, you know, he is willing to lead all the moms and stay close, and he wants to stay close to their hearts, and he right. wants the mother sheep to stay close to their hearts.
Yeah.
So I thought, gosh, you know, you mentioned that heart-to-heart connection. It really starts with our connection with God,
yes.
too, huh?
And yes, then, and totally.
Then, and then can transfer mm-hmm. to our kids as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I just felt like before we wrap up, maybe for you, developing that heart-to-heart connection with Hudson and Caden, mm-hmm. What words of encouragement would you leave to mothers who are trying to also establish heart-to-heart connection? And it could be their grown kids too. I mean, we're right. still doing that, you know, with our boys mm-hmm. and their age as well. So.
I think, let's see, words of encouragement
yeah.
is just, I think words in general hold weight and
yes.
are affirming. So speaking just loving, edifying things about them as they're little to growing up, because
yeah.
even I get caught and it's easy to point out the things that they're not doing or,
uh-huh.
you know, the no's or the
yes.
don'ts or the what are you doing. But I think just giving them positive words of affirmation and telling them how much God loves them too,
mm.
right? Like bringing
mm-hmm.
Jesus
yes.
into their reality
yes.
is
yes.
something that I like doing too, to show the kids that, no, Jesus is real. He's not just somebody. God's just not someone that we talk about on Sundays. Like,
yes.
he's with
yes.
us in our house, in our hearts, at our schools, with our other friends, with our grandparents. You know, he's all around.
Yes.
And how beautiful that is,
yeah.
that it is a cool thing,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
It's not just a religious thing. It's
yes.
a relationship thing, right, with
yes.
him. Yeah. So I just think, those are the things I would say is
yeah.
speaking loving words of affirmation and showing them that through another avenue of bringing Jesus into their world.
Yes, yes. I love that. I love that, you know, not only that of you speaking into them, but also pointing them to the Father, huh? And pointing them to Jesus.
And so, I think one other thing yeah. is just modeling. I know it's hard sometimes, but as mm. the kids get older, like me and Lauren are even seeing that they watch us, they hear us,
uh-huh.
they see us. There's no hiding from them
yes,
sometimes,
yes.
which is sometimes like,
yeah.
okay. But they're seeing the ways that we talk to people, the ways that we interact,
yes.
our relationship
yes.
with God, right?
Mm.
So
mm-hmm.
I feel like
mm-hmm.
a lot
yes.
of times I'm just checking myself like, okay, right, like, are you using loving tones to Lauren, right? Like,
yeah.
are they
yeah.
seeing you throughout the days of the week, not on Sundays, do anything with God on your own? Like,
uh-huh,
are they actually
uh-huh.
watching you, like,
yes.
Spend some time with him? Because that's hard, time to spend with God as a mother.
Yes.
I'm still working on that, but just showing them little bits of
yeah.
who he is through your own relationship
yes.
with him.
Yeah, absolutely. I can attest to those times
uh-huh.
where you know, Bryce or Brandon, they say, you remember when you said this, or remember when you did this? I mean, they are
yeah.
really watching.
Yeah.
When we,
yeah.
we think that they're not.
Right.
They're paying attention.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so good. Well, Mindy, as we start to wind down our time together, I just want to, first of all, thank you for being here with me today and sharing a part of your journey with God and your life-changing testimonies.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm glad that we finally did it after 3 to 4 times. I'm so sorry again, but it happened.
Yeah. Well, good things are worth waiting for.
Yeah.
Huh? So, and I'd like to lift up a prayer of thanksgiving for your testimonies and for our listeners as well. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for the image that you gave to Mindy of the old mirror being smashed, Lord, and replaced with the new image, an image of Mindy as your daughter in Christ. And I just want to quote 2 Corinthians 6:18, "I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." And also 1 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation.
Yes.
The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, may you help us to embrace this powerful truth, that the truth might set us free from the lies of the enemy. And so just thank you for that encouragement from Mindy, and may you continue to speak to her about who she is in you, Lord, and how you see her, Father God, and continue to speak to her in those ways as well, Lord. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for showing Mindy that she can give up the control to you, as you said, casting all her cares upon you, for you care for Mindy, and that's 1 Peter 5:7. And Lord, may we take the rest from being weary and heavy laden by going to you, Jesus, because your yoke is easy and your burden is light, and we will find rest for our souls. That's Matthew 11:28-30. And thank you for that beautiful image of Mindy getting rid of the scale or being able to put the scale. And I can just see that weight coming off, Lord. No pun intended again, but just seeing the weight taken off as she is able to give that, give Hudson and Caden to you and trust in you, Lord. So thank you for that image. And thank you, Holy Spirit, how you spoke to Mindy that one special day to go to Trader Joe's to get the apple cider and the gingerbread house, and just how you were doing a new thing, Lord, in Mindy, and sparking just this new passion to seek you, to connect with you, Lord, and to make room for the things that you wanted to place into Mindy's heart, just a greater faith, a greater trust in you, Lord, a greater relationship with you. And so just thank you for that, Father God. Help us, Lord, to make room for the things that you're trying to show us and you're trying to teach us. And Lord, now may you use these testimonies in Mindy's life to inspire all of us to become all that you created and called us to be in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mindy. Yeah.
Thank you.
And that's it for today's episode of Catalyst Stories. Until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of encouragement and inspiration to others. God bless.